Turn with me here this morning to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is a New Testament book. And where is 2 Corinthians? Right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read some very, very, very familiar scripture here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse number 7. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And God's word says this, and this is the words of the Apostle Paul, "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we end this series on prayer here today, I just pray that the words here from the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, will certainly fall upon all of us here today. What are we to learn about this today, Lord? Teach us that. Just have your Holy Spirit prompt us and just guide us into the wisdom that we need to learn. What do these scriptures teach us? I pray for the message I'm about to speak. May it do one thing. May in my weakness, may I glorify you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the most difficult things to do, or maybe one of the easiest, whichever way you want to look at it, is sit and write a sermon when you know that you're talking to yourself. So I don't know who this message is going to reach this morning. I know one person it's going to reach this morning. It will be me. Maybe you're on that same wagon with me. Well, we're in week number 6, and this is our final week on this sermon series on the power of prayer. James 5:16 tells us this: "The prayer of a righteous person," key word, righteous, "is powerful and effective." And that has been our goal in this series. To know, what does that look like? What does that look like? How can we mold our prayer life and our prayers and ourselves into something that can be powerful and effective, as God's word says? We know this, a quick summary. God's word commands us to pray. We know this. We must come to God in prayer with a pure heart. We know this. We do not want to be hypocritical in our prayers. We know this. Our prayers should or must include thanks and praise and confession, contrition. And we know this. We can pray for anything and everything as long as we do not seek those things that are contrary to the Word of God. So, how do we wrap up this series? What questions about prayer have we not answered? Well, I think there's many questions we haven't answered about prayer. But I think we're going to end with this one final question here today. And it's a good one. Does God always answer all our prayers the way we would like Him to? Wow. That's a loaded question now, isn't it? The Bible does tell us this. In Genesis 25:21, Isaac prayed And his wife Rebekah, who was barren, became pregnant with Jacob and Esau. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 2, Moses prayed and the fire that was coming down from heaven subsided. In Judges chapter 16, verse 28, Samson prayed for strength one last time and he defeated the Philistines. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, Elijah prayed and Mount Carmel was never the same after that. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, Hezekiah prayed and he got to live an extra 15 years. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, Zechariah prayed and his wife Elizabeth became pregnant with John the Baptist. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was imprisoned and the church was earnestly praying for him. And an angel came that evening and released him. And there's many, many, many more biblical examples of when people prayed and God answered their prayer exactly the way they wanted. So we do know that in these particular situations, God did answer prayer in the way that the one was praying would like for him to answer. And we know that we have had situations here too, right here in our midst in our congregation at Beech Grove, where we have prayed for God to do something specific, and God has done that specific thing. Amen? We've all seen it. So I ask again, does God answer all our prayers the way we would like Him to? Let's look at some scriptures to try to back this up. And if you want to turn with me, the first place I'm going to go is Matthew 21. Verses 21 and 22. So I'm going to do three different scriptures here and read them and then progress to a conclusion. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Now these are the words of Jesus, and he says this. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go! Throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Wow, that's an incredible statement, isn't it? If we take that at face value, it tells me three things. One, if we believe. Two, if we have faith. And three, if we don't doubt, then we can receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And they're the words of Jesus, so they must be true, right? Must be true. But if you are like me, I've prayed for something, and I believed, and I had faith, and I did not doubt, but my prayer was not answered the way that I wanted it to. So, was my belief flawed? Was my faith flawed? Did I have some doubt that I didn't know about? Or is there just something that I'm missing from this scripture verse here that I need to understand? We need to move on to the second scripture. Three books to the right. John chapter 14. Let's go there. John 14, and go to verse number 12. John 14, verse 12. And I am going to read verses 12 through 14, just three little verses. Again, the words of Jesus in John 14, starting with verse number 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Hey, there's a second great promise. We read it in Matthew, the words of Jesus. Read it again here in John, the words of Jesus. And that sounds a lot, they sound very similar, don't they? But here's one little change. He does say this, whatever you ask for in my name I will do. Ask for in my name. Does that mean, then, Mike, I have to end my prayer with, and I pray this in the name of Jesus? I do it all the time, don't I? And I bet you many of you do it too. You're praying, and whatever you're praying for, and at the end of the prayer you say, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Does that make your prayer qualify for praying in the name of Jesus? But we do it, don't we? I still remember the first time, shortly after I became a Christian, I was listening to this gentleman pray, and he ended his prayer with, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. And I said, well, why do you say that? And he says, because the Bible tells me to say it. So I often wondered from that day, what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? That's a fair question, isn't it? Let's look it up. One more. Let's go to 1 John. Little John, way towards the end of your Bible, 1 John, almost one of the last books. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We're going to go to 1 John, chapter 5. And let's see if we can hone in on this. Because if you're like me, I want to know why my prayers are not answered the way I want them to. Because some are not. 1 John, chapter 5. Let me start reading at verse number 13. We'll read 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Taking it another step further, it looks like we have to pray according to His will. That if we ask anything according to His will, that generates another question. How do I know what God's will is? Fair question. Mike, didn't you just tell us last week that we should pray for anything and everything as long as it's not contrary to the Word of God? And yes, I did. So how do I know, Mike, when what I want and what God's will is, when they're one and the same? Here's the best answer I can give you. We don't. But the Bible does tell us to pray boldly. We covered that last week. Remember the nosy neighbor? Pray boldly. It says pray with persistence. Remember the widow going to the unrighteous judge. And to pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So we're supposed to pray boldly. Pray with persistence. Pray continually. That's what we're told to do. So that's what we do. That's what we do. I am not the one who can resolve the prayers of the saints, us, with the sovereignty of God. Remember, we talked about that in week number one. It's a paradox. A paradox. Two truths. I'm told to pray, yet I'm told God's going to be sovereign. Now, it's telling me here that I should pray whatever I ask for. Believe, have faith, and don't doubt. But now it's telling me according to God's will. What? Which is it? Yes. Yes. But here's what I've been saying all along about prayer. How do I know that what I want and what God's will, how do I know that they're not one and the same? And I missed it because I failed to pray at all. That's a place we don't want to be. I'd rather pray and have God tell me no than to never pray and never know. I'm going to put Miss Cindy on the spot here for a second. Cindy stood in a circle here last Sunday, and she had to make a decision about a job situation. She has the opportunity to retire. She has to make a decision by Friday. Should she retire, or does she stay working? And do you remember what she prayed for? Because I do. She prayed for wisdom. Lord, what do I do? In other words, what this young lady was saying was this: Lord, what is your will for my life? Do I stay at work or do I retire? I'm willing to go whichever way you want me to go. Just tell me. And throughout the week, I'm sure the Lord worked on her, worked on JL, and they came to a decision. And if you don't mind sharing, the decision is what, Miss Cindy?
I'm still working.
She's still working. God led her into that direction, she said with a frown. As she's still working.
How do you use a pencil?
What's that?
The fine bottom line pencil.
Really? Okay. She's still working, but only penciled in. But there's a perfect example. I need God's wisdom. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And I'm going to put another person on the spot. A young lady there in the back, Miss Lelia, had to make a very, very similar situation by Friday. She had an opportunity for another job within Wintergreen where she was working. What do I do here, Lord? Do I take the promotion or do I stay where I'm at? Prayer, wisdom, that's what she was seeking. What was she seeking? I want your will to be done in my life. And I'm sure it was overwhelming for both these ladies when God told them, here's what you need to do. One more quick story. This goes back a ways. I had just become a Christian. And I was at a former church. And there was another young lady there. And her name was Carol. And Carol and I were having a conversation, a little discussion about prayer. Now, you got to remember, I'm a new believer. And I don't know much about God's word. But I know this, I'm told to pray. So we took polar opposites of how we look at this thing. Me, I'm over here on this side. I'm saying, I'm going to pray for whatever I want to pray for. And this is what I'm going to pray for because I'm told to pray. Carol, on the other hand, she's over here saying, we need to pray that God's will be done in our life. Well, then I thought, well, I'll get her on this one. Let me give her a realistic situation. Okay, both Carol and I had sons the exact same age, and at that time they were probably about 18 years old. I said, Carol, what if both our sons were in a very serious automobile accident, and they're at the hospital and they're on their deathbed? What would you be praying for? Would you be praying for our sons to get well and to be healed? Or would you be praying for God's will to be done? So who was right? Me or her? Yes. There's a part of us that does pray for this, don't we? We want this. I want this, whatever this may be. No, it shouldn't be this. I always do this. Whatever this is what we want God to do for us. But let's be realistic. We have to be realistic. You can't always get what you want. Now, for those of you who may go back to the 60s, yes, that was a song by the Rolling Stones. It was on the 45, the flip side of Honky Tonk Women. And we're not going there this morning. But it was a song written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. And it's a true statement, though, isn't it? You can't always get what you want. But the song goes on to say this: but if you try, sometimes you just might find, who knows the rest of it? You get what you need. Now, that's not biblical. That's Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. But as my son says, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again. Okay? But we must remember, church, that we do live in a sinful and a fallen world, right? The wages of sin is death. No matter how much we pray for our loved ones that are on deathbeds to not die, eventually our loved ones do go. Bad things just happen, no matter how good or how righteous we think we may be. Jesus does say this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He causes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But if there's one verse in this book that relates to prayer that we must understand, it's got to be Romans 8:28. And I know you know what it is. Romans 8:28. We did a whole sermon series on Romans 8:28 once upon a time. Romans 8:28 from the NIV says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." We love that verse most of the time. Sometimes we don't like that. Because, as Pete just said, God's good for me may be saying no to my prayers. God's good for me may be saying wait to my prayers. So I have to ask us, even though we've been through everything we've been through, are we prepared for no? Are we prepared to hear no? In our scripture text for today, we see the Apostle Paul. He's struggling with a situation that he had. He called it a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that was for him, and many people speculate what it might have been, but no one really knows for sure. But we do know this, that Paul prayed. And it says that he prayed three times. And at that time, there probably wasn't a person alive who was more righteous, if there is such a thing, as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, if you go back and read certain parts of Acts, he performed miracles. He wrote 13 books in the New Testament. But he couldn't do a miracle on himself. And his prayer wasn't answered. He prayed three times to the Lord for the thorn to be removed. And it says God heard Paul's prayer but decided to say no to his request. Why? Because God's power, we know, can be shown in His miraculous healing power. But sometimes God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses, in the unanswered prayers. And it gets back to John chapter 14, verse 13, which we read earlier, that says, if we ask in His name, in the name of the Son, we'll do what? If we ask in prayer in the name of the Son, it will bring glory to the Father. In John chapter 9, the man born blind. Remember the disciples asked Him, Hey, Jesus, who sinned? Was it the man or was it his parents? And Jesus says, but this happened, neither sinned. But this happened so what? So that the work of God might be displayed in his life. John chapter 11, Jesus gets word, Lazarus is sick. Lazarus. And Jesus says this, this sickness isn't going to end in death. No, it's for God's glory. The promise of Romans 8:28 is so that, one, our prayers, be they answered or not, is for our good. And two, our prayers, be they answered or not, God will receive the glory. Does God receive glory in our unanswered prayers? Or do we just give God the glory when He answers our prayers the way that we want Him to? What did the Apostle Paul say? He will boast about his weakness. He will boast about that unanswered prayer. He will delight in his weaknesses. Why? Because when God answers no to our prayers, it is to display the power of God. Because when God answers no to our prayers, we know that we will have sufficient grace to get through that situation. Is sufficient grace good enough for us? Is it good enough for us? I'm going to tell a quick little story before I end here, just to show how human I can be. There have been people that I have been praying for. I've been praying for Shirley when she was going through her difficult times. Praying for Betty Fitzgerald going through her difficult times. And praying for other people who have been going through some difficult situations. Especially my friend Warren that I work with. Warren is 78 years old, and he still works down the building where I work. Warren has the energy of a 30-year-old. Warren's been working. He worked for Genicom. He worked for GE. He knows that building inside and out, and they hire him to do maintenance inside the building. And Warren works 20 hours a week, Monday, Tuesday, and half day Wednesday. And Warren's always this chipper guy. He's a Christian. He's just on fire for the Lord, and he's always excited. And every time you see him, "Hey, Mike, how, you having a good day today?" And one day I saw Warren, and it was on a Monday morning, and Warren just wasn't Warren anymore. I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I was helping somebody at church last night. And he said, I did something to my back. And my back hurts so bad. And it just wasn't fair to see Warren like that. Because you've always seen this guy. He's always upbeat." And the next day, Warren, and we prayed right there on the spot. The next day, no better. The next day, no better. When he came in the next week, he said, "They're going to send me to UVA and they're going to give me some kind of shot that's supposed to help me." And I said, "Let's pray for that, Warren." So he went to UVA on a Monday, and that next day he was in at work and he was Warren again. I said, "Warren, what happened?" And he said, "Mike, praise the Lord, the shot worked. I don't know how long it's going to work, but," he said, "I'm going to milk this thing for as long as it goes." He said, "I feel great." And it was so wonderful to see Warren, to be back to being Warren again. And we prayed right there on the spot, and we gave God the glory. And that's when I walked away and actually started crying. "Lord, you're helping him. Why can't you help me?" Boy, isn't that selfish? Isn't that selfish? "Lord, you're taking care of Warren." And I had just gotten off the phone with Betty the day before, and her surgery was going well. "Lord, you're taking care of Betty. You took care of Shirley Fisher. She had to go through some surgery, but you know she's really on the mend. And you took care of Warren. You gave him a shot. Why do I have to go through and having this ear ringing and these headaches and this lightheadedness day after day and it never goes away? Why, Lord?" You ever been there? Or am I the only person who gets frustrated with my own difficult situations and has my own self-pity party? I hope I don't... Not that I hope we've all been there, but I hope you understand how we can get there. And that's when this verse came to mind. And it just felt like, "Mike, isn't my grace sufficient for you? I saved your sorry soul. Now you want me to fix you too?" Yeah. We're human beings, aren't we? We want everything to go our way. We want God to answer all of our prayers the way we want him to answer them. And I'm no different. Not just because I stand up here and I'm the guy who leads this church doesn't mean that I can do this better than anybody. I struggle with doing God's word just as much as anybody else. But I have to realize there comes a time, sometimes, when sufficient grace just has to be sufficient. Because that might be all we receive. Does that mean that this prayer was ineffective? No. You bet I'm still going to pray. You bet I still pray for Betty Fitzgerald. And you bet someday that Warren's back might start hurting him again, and I'm going to start praying for Warren again. And whatever might be happening in your life, physical, job, whatever it might be, yes, we are going to pray. Because we're told to do that, aren't we? We're told to pray boldly. We're told to pray persistently. We're told to pray without ceasing. So that's what we do. But the big question is this: are we okay with sufficient grace if that's all we get? The website gotquestions.org says this about the power of prayer. The power, and I quote, "The power of prayer does not flow from us. It is not special words we say or the special way we say them or even how often we say them. The power of prayer is not based on a certain direction we face or a certain position of our bodies. The power of prayer does not come from the use of artifacts or icons or candles or beads. The power of prayer comes from the Omnipotent One who hears our prayers and answers them. Prayer places us in contact with Almighty God, and we should expect almighty results, whether or not He chooses to grant our petitions or deny our request. Whatever the answer to our prayers, the God to whom we pray is the source of the power of prayer, and He can and will answer us according to His perfect will and timing." End quote. So, what did I learn about a powerful and effective prayer? I think this is where we need to conclude with this whole series. We said we wanted to be like James. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What does that mean? And I think this sums it up best. A powerful and effective prayer or prayer life does not always mean positive changes in my circumstances. A powerful and effective prayer and prayer life always means a positive change in me. Let's go to God in prayer.